20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember, you can always subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify. And of course, you can check us out over at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I am here, as always, with Andrew Mertzig. Andrew, how's it going? It's so good to be back for another Friday edition of the podcast.
Yeah, it's great to be back. This is episode 694, believe it or not. And I would be really excited because next week we'd be talking about 701. But actually, we have something much better planned for today. So I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm just going to let you kick us off.
Yeah, usually and Andrew are the self-proclaimed dynamic duo on Fridays, but today we are excited to be joined by new Pack-A-Day member, Jimmy Christensen. We're excited to have you with us today. Thanks for taking the time to join us, Jimmy.
Thanks for having me on today. I'm super excited to be on with you guys. See the, as you say, dynamic duo do their thing.
And so no disrespect to Jimmy, but we are really, really excited to have you with us today. We absolutely mean that, Jimmy, but Jimmy, you are not the most exciting guest that we have to introduce today. Is that right, Andrew?
No. And all due respect to Jimmy, who I like a lot. But our other guest today is none other than Green Bay Packer wide receiver Alan Lazard. Alan is entering his third professional season, coming off of 2019, where he caught 35 passes for 477 yards, three touchdowns. Welcome to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, Alan.
Thanks for having me, guys. Excited to be here and see what all the buzz is about.
Absolutely. We are super pumped. And you have to explain something to me. So I'm going to go back a few years here. You're a USA Today All-American in high school. And then all you do in college is become the Iowa State career leader in receptions and receiving yards. You're all Big 12 in 2016 and 2017, which I would say you've clearly proven yourself on a really high level. How did you handle not being drafted?
I took it pretty hard, not going to lie. My first year in Jacksonville, especially being on the practice squad for the whole year, that was something that was really hard to deal with. You know, it was a big obstacle and challenge for me personally and within my career, both on and off the field. So that whole undrafted process and being on the practice squad only, I think, lit a bigger fire inside me and made me realize on how much harder I needed to push myself. And it makes being here today a lot more, feel a lot better knowing that I earned it and that I had to go through hard times to get here and still have the long way to go.
Coming in undrafted, you had to work your way up practice squad, became a starter, worked way into just having a big role for the Packers. And now coming into the 2020 season, obviously there's not a rookie camp. We're still hoping that training camp and everything goes according to plan. Like how is that going to affect the undrafted free agents this year? Like how's it going to make it even tougher for them to make a team?
I mean, they're the ones who really get the short end of the stick, you know, losing that whole evaluation process from, OTAs and minicamp throughout the summer, and then also just, you know, we really don't even know how our preseason fall camp is really going to be orchestrated and whatnot. So just, you know, with all the nuances that are going to be taking place, it's really going to limit their reps and their opportunity is going to be a lot smaller. But those that are ready and prepared will be able to make some noise.
So then you go from an undrafted free agent, you get picked up by the Packers, you spend a little bit of time on the practice squad, you come in, you have a really strong showing in camp last offseason, you had a really good preseason, and then you end up getting released and signed back onto the practice squad. What was going through your mind during that time? What kind of, you know, mental toughness and fortitude does it take to kind of move through that, even though I really thought you had proven yourself at that point?
Yeah, that was another difficult process to go through. Like you said, you know, I thought I had put together a well-orchestrated camp in preseason to kind of earn a roster spot. But, you know, I think the biggest thing that I took from that whole situation is that which I kind of already believe in, which is control the controllables. And I clearly had no control about what where my career was going at that time. So, you know, I knew I put forth my best effort, and I just still had a long way to go. So kind of going through that whole process, I was very lucky to become close with a few guys on the team. And, you know, going through that whole process, they were there to stand by me and support me and to keep on encouraging me. And I'm very thankful for those guys, and not only them, but the coaches that kept on believing me as well.
It's amazing how quickly things can change. You were cut, as was said, you know, after the preseason, and then really just a few weeks, you were carving out a significant role on this offense. And Andrew and I actually had the chance to be there at Lambeau in week 6 last season when you kind of had your breakout game against the Lions there. And then you clearly, you know, finished 2019 with a ton of momentum, and many people are really excited to see the next step for you this coming season. So what part of your game, I'm just curious, have you really been focusing on to improve to get to that next level as a receiver?
I've really been focusing on my mental for the most part, especially, you know, going through this quarantine and all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world. You know, the biggest thing that I noticed when I got to the NFL 2.5 years ago was that everyone, for the most part, was on the same level of skill and playing ability. And the ones that were able to really separate themselves were able to do so mentally. And that's, you know, studying the film, studying your opponent, working on your craft, being extremely detailed, and just kind of taking all those things, those different aspects of the game, and putting them all together and kind of forming it into one thing. So I think, you know, it's not just my footwork. It's not just my catching. It's not just my route running. It's, you know, I think it's pre-snap. It's post-snap reads. It's, you know, situational football, third and whatever, predicting the coverage and everything. So I think, you know, that's where I'm able to separate myself right now, and I can continue to do so throughout this next year.
And I think everyone is really, really excited to see year 2 of Matt LaFleur's offense as well. So I'm just curious, beside yourself, give us one other player on offense that you expect to make that big jump this season and be a difference maker for this team.
Jake Kumerow, to be honest. You know, I feel like he's kind of a silent assassin. you know, he's not too big of a rah-rah guy. You know, besides his long, luxurious hair. But, you know, he's someone that I really looked up to when I first got here a year or so ago. And he's done nothing but just been consistent and just works hard every single day. And he's, you know, I think his route running ability, his speed, and just, you know, his overall production is really kind of goes under the radar for the most part. But I believe that he'll continue to keep making strides forward and really be a huge part of our offense this year.
I talked with Tim Boyle last week, and he actually picked Jake Kumerow as one of his players he thought was going to break out too. So I'm excited. I want to see you and him take the league by storm next year. But now switching over to the defense. I know when we talked a couple months ago, you said you enjoyed going up against Jair Alexander the most during practice, just because the competitive nature of both of you guys. And with Tremont Williams leaving now, that third spot's open. So I was wondering if there's anybody else on the defense that you could kind of come see taking that third spot to join Alexander and King as the top cornerbacks on the defense.
I would probably say Josh Jackson. Just, you know, I went against him in college for 3 years, at least 2 years, but I think 3 years maybe. We had gone against each other, and then, you know, I obviously got the chance to play against him last year throughout practice, and he's really showed flashes of just making incredible plays. I think he's dumb athletic and instinctive. So I'm looking for him to kind of, you know, up his level of play this next year and kind of be able to fill the shoes that Tremont left for him.
Do you think there's a little bit of Iowa bias right there, though?
I mean, there's still some rivalry, though. Don't get it.
Yeah, true.
Don't get it. You see what I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, I know. It made me think of it.
So this is obviously an offseason that really has never been seen in the modern era of the NFL. So how do you stay physically and mentally ready to perform in the NFL during COVID?
You know, going into this whole quarantine, whatever we're doing, our new normality today, you know, I kind of took a step back and kind of like thought of the big picture and how the next year or so is going to go. And, you know, it really levels the playing field, so to speak. You know, everyone's for the most part in the same situation, and it's really going to be up to who makes an excuse to not get better, to not keep on improving, and who's going to let the whole quarantine thing be an excuse. And so, you know, that's something that I really focused on and try not to let all these other things that I can't control going on outside to affect me and what I'm doing with my craft and everything.
So I know you were in Arizona with Manny. Are you still out there?
No. I just moved back to Green Bay actually 10 days ago.
Okay. I have Manny's, I have his EP on my phone right now. I downloaded it a couple weeks ago. Are we going to have an Alan Lazard feature on his next project?
Not yet. Far from that for sure.
All right. If you would do it, would you be vocals or would you have a verse?
If I were to do it, I'd probably be like background ad libs, you know, kind of very subtle. I may drop a verse, but more than likely it's just, you know, in the background. You really ain't going to hear me. I'm going to be quiet with it.
All right.
All right. So switching over from some fun stuff to some more serious stuff. We're recording this on Thursday night, but this interview will be available tomorrow, June 19th, Juneteenth. And the Packers and Mark Murphy released a statement saying that the organization will close its doors in observance of Juneteenth, not only for this year, but the Packers are planning to make this an annual observance. So obviously, we know actions speak a lot louder than words, and there's going to be a lot of humility, a lot of listening and learning and changing of hearts and minds before we can really celebrate progress here, I think. But what does it mean to you to be a part of an organization that is so vocally giving its support to being part of the change that we need to see when it comes to racism in America?
Oh, it's a very comforting feeling knowing that, you know, I have the love and support from the whole organization from the top down. You know, when I first got to Green Bay, it made it very obvious of why there's such a great tradition of winning and success here, is because they have great people in the building, people that care and that are all going towards one goal. You know, so just having that support and them acknowledging it, like you said, it's just a step in the right direction. And just because, you know, it doesn't change everything that's going on, you know, not going to just end racism or police brutality or anything like that, but just acknowledging it, I think, is the first step in going in the right direction. So, you know, if we continue to have these conversations, we continue to be uncomfortable and to discuss. But I think the biggest part is to keep an open mind, to sit there and listen. Don't raise your voice and try to argue just to get your point across. Listen to the other side. You know, play devil's advocate every once in a while, and to have an open mind, I think, could go a long ways.
Obviously, this is a conversation that's kind of a long time coming in the NFL, and so, you know, we appreciate as fans, I think, seeing the Packers throw their weight into this the way that they have and really coming alongside you guys. So, again, you know, we're with you in the wanting to listen and learn and those kinds of things. So we appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing that with us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for talking about it. You know, I think it's little things like that, you know, that's going to eventually over time will add up to be a huge difference and make a big change.
So real quick before we move on from this, I asked Billy Turner this question too. And just for me, my wife and my daughter, like, one thing that we've been really talking about lately is just making sure we're bringing up our kid to be part of the solution, not the problem. Like, what are things as young parents of a young kid that, like, we can do to make sure we're raising a child to be part of the solution?
You know, one thing that I've noticed and that I'm grateful for is sports. And, you know, being in a sports locker room, especially a football locker room, when there's multiple, you know, we have 70 plus people, you know, including coaches, is that you have people from all walks of life. And, you know, I've been able to meet people from California, Texas, Florida, East Coast, Midwest. So I've been exposed to a lot of people and their point of views and their culture. And I feel like not everyone gets that luxury, of having that ability, you know, especially obviously being able to play the sports continually at a professional level only allows me to get more opportunities as such. So I would say one of the biggest things is to be uncomfortable. Go put yourself in a different culture. Go invest in time of trying new foods, trying new music, you know, listening to people, sitting down and asking about their story, asking about their life. And, you know, the more that you push yourself to be uncomfortable, I think will ultimately have the biggest amount of change.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you a lot for sharing that. And I think one of the things that I'm really appreciative about, you know, the Green Bay Packers organization in general, if you go back to Ron Wolf in the early 90s, they sort of went back to this Lombardi era mentality of we're going to bring in really high character football players and really high character people. And I appreciate everything that you've had to say, the things that you shared on social media. And you can tell, like, you're very articulate. You care about our society, and that's a great reflection on Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin and our state as a whole and our country. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three really selfish things I want to do because Kyle lets me have too much control over
the
show.
That's true. That's very true.
One is a huge thank you to Jimmy for organizing this because this has been fantastic. There have been quite a few current players on the Packaday podcast, but none on Fridays yet. And so this is Friday Kyle and my first. Oh, go ahead.
So I was saying Friday the 13th.
Yeah. And nice.
You gotta that has to be the title of the podcast now.
Yes. Yep. There you go.
We'll just change it up.
Yeah.
The second is I have to give credit to Kyle, which I never ever do. but he told me on this podcast in December 2018, how big a deal it was that the Packers picked you up. And he has been on the Alan Lazard train since day one. And it was pretty cool that Kyle's very first game in Lambeau Field was the game where you scored your first touchdown. And now you get to be the first current player on our podcast. So kudos to Kyle for that.
Alan, I have to confess, though, and I shouldn't do this, but I really thought the Packers were going to bring you in and make you a tight end. So that's where I was wrong. I was excited, but I had it a little bit wrong.
Hey, that's fine, though. At least you saw the vision. saw everything that was going on. So I'm going to need to come to a few more games this year, I guess.
That sounds good.
Thanks for throwing yourself under the bus so I didn't have to. And finally, I almost never bring up like people from Twitter on the show, but I have to in this case because I have a follower. Her name on Twitter, at least, is Alma at Rosa Malik 07, who I'm pretty sure is your biggest fan, Alan, at least the most vocal on Twitter, because every time there's any Alan Lazard related content, she posts some reply or retweets it. So could you give Alma a quick shout out?
Yeah, shout out to Alma. I see you out there on the Twitter feed, always mentioning me. You know, I will always appreciate the love and support. And, you know, I'm going to keep going out there and doing whatever I can to prove you right for being the best fan there is.
That is amazing.
You could tell that cameo you've been doing has been paying off. That was really smooth.
Hey. So Alan, is there anything that you're doing right now that you'd like to promote, where can fans find you on social media?
You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Alan Lazard, all lowercase, Allen Lazard. I'm not really doing anything right now as far as protesting or a foundation, you know, throughout this whole process, you know, I like to let my thoughts render and to kind of really let things happen over time because I don't like to rush things and I really don't like to force things. So as far as that goes, you know, I'm in the process of it. I've been thinking about it a lot lately and I've been bouncing off ideas from friends and families. And I just want to make sure what I do is in the right direction with the right motive, with the right people helping me out. So hopefully soon I'll get something together and I'll make sure to let you guys know.
That makes a ton of sense. And we appreciate your thoughtfulness and you're being proactive in how you, you know, handle that and all those things. Best of luck on all that. This has been incredibly fun, man. Thanks so much for taking the time. It's always great to get a player's perspective on things. It was really fun to get to know you a little bit better as well. And I know we speak for Packers fans everywhere when we say that we really can't wait to get back to football and watching you catch passes again for the Packers this fall. So good luck in 2020, and thanks so much for coming on the Pack-A-Day podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Go Pack, go, baby.
Oh, I actually have a really, really super quick question. Is there a nickname?
Laz.
Just Laz. Okay.
Laz.
Laz.
Is it inappropriate for us to make really strange lizard noises on the podcast when you do cool stuff? Yeah,
the noises might be a little bit too much, but you know, you can get the mention. You know, you can get the lizard.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
And that beeping you heard in the background was the sound of Kyle backing the bus over me.
That may or may not have happened, but we won't. Don't go back and listen to those.
But yeah, a colossal thank you to Alan Lazard for joining us. But that is all the time that we have today. This has been the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can find Kyle on Twitter at @Packer_pundit. And you can find me at Andrew Murdig. And remember to go check out Jimmy at @Jimmy_C08. And check out the @Pack-A-Day Podcast Twitter handle as well. You can help us out by subscribing and rating the podcast on whatever your favorite podcasting platform happens to be. You can get to Kyle and myself every single Friday. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember.